What has happened to Sinn Féin's cast iron guarantee that they would not go back into an assembly without equal marriage promised? That seems to have been dropped. Have a listen to the Sinn Féin MLA, Marcin Mueller, from the Top Table programme on Wednesday night.
There's a young gay man here at the table and feels very passionately about this. Is Sinn Féin prepared to make a commitment to him that you will not go back into the Assembly without the DUP promising that they will not use a petition of concern to overrule the democratic vote on gay marriage, for example?
No, and I don't think we have made that commitment. I don't think that's a commitment Sinn Féin have made. I think we want to get back into government. This is a commitment we'll
no
make.
No matter what?
Let me just finish this here. This is a commitment I'll make to everyone here and on behalf of those of us who believe in rights and justice for all, regardless whether you're LGBT, you're nationalist, you're unionist, or you're ethnic minority. And it's the demand made by those who marched through Belfast City Centre 3 Saturdays ago. That is that there's total equality for all, that we move into the 21st century, that we do not tolerate those who are either racist or anti-LGBT.
Would total equality for all mean include gay marriage?
We have to have marriage equality.
Through reform of the petition of concern, which Sinn Féin hasn't been actively pursuing. This is the basis of my question.
And this is the pledge I make. We will deliver for this society.
That's the pledge he will make. They will deliver for that society. But they have dropped their promise that they will not go back into a government without equal marriage. They have dropped their promise. I don't know whether it was even a promise ever made that they will refuse to go back in if a petition of concern is used against a majority vote if that happened in an assembly. But whether the promise was made or not, and let's presume it wasn't, Sinn Féin saying, yeah, they will go back into government with the prospect of the DUP still using a petition of concern to block a majority vote if that were the case. It was the case the last time. The newsletter, Sam McBride, with us this morning. So those promises made to the gay community before the election, Sam, seem to have gone.
I think that has been apparent for some time. I think to a certain extent that would have come to a head more in February of this year if the DUP had accepted what was on the table, because the DUP pulled the rug they walked away from what was on the table at that point, what they were seemingly prepared at a leadership level to agree to. That really, I suppose, took the focus away from what Sinn Féin had really agreed to. But it was very clear there that they were going back in with really nothing on gay rights, which had not been on the table when Stormont had been collapsed. There was some vague talk in February of this year that really there had been some change at Westminster, where Conor McGinn was bringing a private members bill forward, and really that was some big breakthrough. That has now fallen apart, but I mean, that's really a pretty limp reason for going back in. If you're saying that there might be something that happens at Westminster, that was something which was always possible with Stormont being in situ. This is a devolved matter, and really, I suppose, what we see here is that Sinn Féin's big priority here is not Arlene Foster, it's not gay rights in terms of getting Stormont back. It's not that they don't care about those issues, but those are not red lines for them. The one thing which they don't seem prepared to move on in any way is the Irish Language Act. So that is the thing which is absolutely, which has become absolutely consistent. But of course, at the start of this process, that was hardly mentioned. It was really RHI, then to a certain extent gay marriage. Things have changed over the last 18 months.
So for people in the gay community, Sam, who thought that when they were voting for Sinn Féin, they were voting for a party that would not budge, would not go back into government without equality for all, without gay marriage. How do you think they're going to be feeling this morning?
I think there's probably going to be a range of views, but I mean, you'll have people who will be frustrated, but will still take the view that Sinn Féin is one of the parties that is most likely to press this issue at some future point. There'll be other people who I think will feel betrayed, and there were posters about this during the last Assembly election around South Belfast, I know, in Martin O'Meara's constituency. It was something that if Sinn Féin was perhaps careful not to say that it was a red line, and I think they were careful not to say that, certainly the impression which they gave to the public was that this was one of the issues that could not be allowed to just remain as it had been. There was going to be no return to the status quo, and this was one of the issues that was cited in that context. And therefore, I think the pretty legitimate expectation of people listening to that, particularly people who may not follow the twists and turns of politics, but who heard that at election time, they might have been led to believe that this was something that really was so important to Sinn Féin that they would not permit Stormont to return without it. I think that was always going to be pretty difficult for Sinn Féin to deliver, and now we're seeing a bit more pragmatism and perhaps a bit more of Sinn Féin looking at how things play out in the south and realising that while this is not popular with some of their base in Northern Ireland, they've got bigger fish to fry to a certain extent, and if it is strategically important to get Stormont back to show that they're competent, that they can be involved in government, that they could be a reliable partner in the south, maybe this is just a hit that they have to take.
And Arlene Foster goes to the Pink News event, that's what we're going to talk about now, last night, reaches out to the gay community, says she sees them as her neighbours, but does she or her party see their sexuality as abnormal? DUP refusing to answer the question. Does she feel the gay community deserves an apology because of comments made by prominent members of the DUP over the years describing their sexuality repugnant, repulsive, nauseating, a punishment from God? A hurricane was a punishment from God on homosexuality, and obviously the well-known phrase now that gay people should go and seek psychiatric help. No mention of that anywhere last night, Sam.
No, and I suppose some people were looking at what Arlene Foster said last night and wondering if there would be some sort of apology, not for the party's opposition to gay marriage, but to some of that more extreme language which has come from the party down through the years. That wasn't something which Arlene Foster did. I think that it was probably very unrealistic to expect her to come in and make big policy changes there. But that that tonal change, I suppose, the very fact that she went to the event, that she put her emphasis largely on trying to be seen to reach out, whether that was the case or not, I think that is very important for the DUP. There is there are people in the gay community who will say that really, if there's no policy change, this really doesn't amount to anything. It's just a PR stunt. I think that's maybe a little bit cynical in that there are people in Westminster, in the major parties, both Labour and the Tories, who opposed gay marriage, but did so in a pretty measured way. Their language was very different to what we hear sometimes from some people in the DUP. There are lots of people who really have no truck with that sort of language. But I think what Arlene Foster is trying to do is trying to move her party into a more mainstream position in terms of how it sounds. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to change very much in terms of how it acts in big assembly votes, but she's very clearly trying to say to her party, I'm leading you in a certain direction here, and the expectation will be that everybody from councillors up to MLAs and MPs really follow her lead in this.
Sam McBride, thank you. Colm Eastwood from the SDLP joining us this morning. Good morning to you, Colm.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Do you think this was a significant step for Arlene Foster going to the event alone?
Well, it was a step, and I welcomed the step. I particularly made a point of welcoming Arlene to the event when she arrived. I was glad to see her there. But you know, it's good if it's the beginning of a journey, but if it's the end of a journey, then it's nothing. And I think the people will see it as being nothing. I made the point last night from the stage when Arlene told us that everybody in Northern Ireland was equal. I made the point, well, they're clearly not. If a huge section of our community aren't entitled to get married. But I also said that I don't challenge anybody's individual beliefs about what marriage is. People are entitled to hold that view. I have a different view, but I don't believe that the DUP are entitled to block a majority in the Assembly, and that is the crux of the matter. You know, it is fine if they want to make the case that they don't support marriage equality, but it is not okay for them to use a veto power that was designed to protect rights to block rights. So, that is what's been done.
Like, so what is your reaction that Martino Mueller has given the BBC One Top Table show that they will now go back into government without any promises around the petition of concern that you're talking about?
Well, I'm not a bit surprised, because I read the deal or near deal that was leaked to the media in February, and there was no mention of the reform of the petition of concern. We were obviously frozen out of those negotiations. But in the conversations that we did have with people, we were very concerned the whole way through that it just didn't seem that there was any emphasis being put on the need to reform the petition of concern. That is what unlocks marriage equality, but it won't just be marriage equality. There'll be other issues that the DUP will, even if they don't want to, they'll feel pressure to block, and with a couple of other people in the chamber. So if we don't reform the petition of concern, and remember, the petition of concern was there in the Good Friday Agreement to protect people's rights, to be there as a block to rights and human rights abuses happening. Now, it has been used to stop people's rights. It has been used as a veto on progress. If we don't change that, we're not going to get a sustainable future that we need. And the vast majority of people out there who want to see marriage equality, and of course the majority of the Assembly, I proposed the first motion that got a majority in the House, and it was great. But then the DUP vetoed it, and that's just wrong. And if Arlene wants to show to people that she does actually respect the gay community, then she needs to get out of the way by helping us reform the petition of concern, stop using it as a blocking mechanism for people's rights.
But why should Arlene advocate reforming the petition of concern if Sinn Féin are prepared to go back into government without the reform of it?
Well, I mean, I think drawing red lines over the last 18 months has been a mistake in the first place. And it's very, you know, it's very easy to put posters up on lampposts, but when you have to actually deliver, it's a different story. But if we're serious now about getting the Assembly back up and running, I made a proposal way back in February, I said even before that, that the British Irish Intergovernmental Conference needs to be called. We're now seeing that happening. That conference needs to step in, because the two governments are co-guarantors. If they do not step in and protect this process, and the way to do that is to deal with the hard issues, deal with language, deal with the petition of concern, deal with some other issues to get us back up and running. And remember, every single day we are facing a crisis in our health service, a crisis in our education system, and an economy that I think is growing stagnant because of the threat of Brexit, and all the while we're sitting in our hands.
Professor John Tong with us this morning. John, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Was that a big, brave step by Arlene Foster?
Well,
going to the Pink News event?
Attending the event, and I think the organisers deserve some credit for inviting her. It was not the forum for any dramatic change in DUP policy, which remains long-standing. I think that Arlene Foster-Frankie would have a job selling it, even if she did believe in same-sex marriage, selling it within her own party.
So what was she doing there then, saying, you're my neighbours, and what's the point of doing it half-cocked?
Well, I suppose that the point of it, if there is one, is to you know, offer the hand of friendship. Now, obviously, there is a difficulty there, because she's saying, you know, I support lesbian and gays, but I don't support your marriages. So clearly there is a difficulty there. But you know,
is she saying she supports...
What harm did it do last night, the organisers and Arlene Foster?
But John, is she saying she supports lesbian and gays? Is she saying that?
Well, she said that she valued them as members of the Northern Ireland community.
Why she can't tell them, because she has been asked and her party has been asked. She can't even tell them whether she views their sexuality as normal or not.
Well, she wasn't asked that.
Yes, she was, by this programme. Her party was asked by this programme.
Yeah, I mean...
Over a week ago, they've blanked this.
Again, you know, you've highlighted the extent of the distance the DUP still needs to travel. I mean, we found that nearly two-thirds of their members believe that homosexuality, let alone same-sex marriage, homosexuality was wrong. So you see that the amount of ground that Arlene Foster has to travel, if she does want to take her party in a particular direction in terms of same-sex marriage, it probably won't be in her hands, though. I mean, in terms of, you know, the petition of concern was mentioned before, I agreed with what John said, but the DUP cannot block same-sex marriage if there was to be a revived Assembly alone, and I think it would be an interesting call for Robin Swan and the Ulster Unionist Party as to whether they told their own MLAs to back a DUP petition of concern if one came, or whether they were told not to back a petition of concern, in which case the arithmetic would be very interesting. We know that the Assembly voted 53-52 last time in favour of same-sex marriage, so the DUP know that the power that they once had of veto is not as great in any reconstituted Assembly. I don't think that Westminster, given the Conservative DUP axis, would necessarily intervene on this matter over the next couple of years. I suppose that, you know, looking at it most favourable, in the most favourable light last night, you could say it was baby steps, part of a a broader outreach programme of Arlene Foster, trying to at least get members of her party to begin to rethink these issues. In the way that the DUP has had to, it's been, when it's been engulfed by societal tides, it's had to drop opposition. Save Ulster from sodomy is little more than a distant memory now, swept away by a changing tide of societal sentiment.
There would be some who would argue that if you look at it in the best case scenario, this is the leader of the DUP taking a personal risk, taking personal flak to go to an LGBT event. And if you, for those who would be her critics, they would say this was a photo opportunity of a leader trying to soften her image.
I think there is an image effort at play by Arlene Foster to soften the image, because the DUP has been under the spotlight, as we know, over the last year, both in Northern Ireland and across the water, to an unprecedented extent. And I think the DUP has recognised it does need to soften its image. But, you know, being less cynical, I mean, there's no votes in this for Arlene Foster. It should be remembered. I mean, frankly, the idea that Northern Ireland's lesbian and gay community are going to rush to the polls and vote DUP at the next set of elections is fantasy. Going out to GAA grounds isn't going to make people no longer nationalist attendees at those games. So there's no votes in it, other than if you believe that because young people are much more liberal on social attitudes, that eventually, you know, the DUP is going to have to tap into younger people's votes. You could argue it in an electoral case on that basis. But, you know, given that 2 out of 3 18 to 24-year-olds in Northern Ireland didn't vote at the last election, the DUP is electorally fireproof for so long as most young people are simply turned off by Northern Ireland's politics and don't vote.
Let me bring in the nationalist commentator, Chris Donnelly. Morning to you, Chris.
Morning, Stephen.
What's happened to Sinn Féin? What's happened to their solemn promise? No return to the status quo. And yet they will return with no equal marriage. And yet they will return with the DUP still able to use a petition of concern. What's happened?
I think the deal as it was left in February was clear that the most significant movement would have been achieved regarding the Irish Language Act, which would have been what would have been expected in terms of the nationalist, the Republican base, their first priority. However, at that time, there was a suggestion, certainly that Sinn Féin were putting out, was that there was the stuff that Conor McGinn was introducing, the bill at Westminster, that they were putting it about that there was going to be a significant mileage to that, that they were suggesting that that might lead to change. Now, what we're saying at the moment, I think, is quite interesting. You know, you quoted Martin O'Muller's comments on Top Table. I think if that is reflective of Sinn Féin's position privately in terms of negotiations, that would be a mistake. I think Sinn Féin are at risk of underplaying their hand, you know, that they're not fully recognising the strength of the negotiating position.
Well, let's just remind people what Martin did say on BBC One on Wednesday night.
There's a young gay man here at the table and feels very passionately about this. Is Sinn Féin prepared to make a commitment to him that you will not go back into the Assembly without the DUP promising that they will not use a petition of concern to overrule the Democratic vote on gay marriage, for example?
No, and I don't think we have made that commitment. No, I don't think that's a commitment Sinn Féin have made. I think we want to get back into government. This is a commitment we'll make.
No matter what?
Let me just finish this here. This is a commitment I'll make to everyone here and on behalf of those of us who believe in rights and justice for all, regardless whether you're LGBT, you're nationalist, you're unionist, or you're ethnic minority. And it's the demand made by those who marched through Belfast City Centre 3 Saturdays ago. That is that there's total equality for all, that we move into the 21st century, that we do not tolerate those who are either racist or anti-LGBT.
Would total equality for all mean include gay marriage?
We have to have marriage equality.
Reform of the petition of concern, which the basis of my question.
This is the pledge I make. We will deliver for this society.
They will deliver, they will strive, but they will go back in with the DUP still able to use a petition of concern. It is not a red line for Sinn Féin. Let's contrast that to what Michelle O'Neill... One second, Chris. Let's contrast that to what Michelle O'Neill said just last night.
I can tell you here tonight that I want to lead Sinn Féin into a power-sharing government with all of the other parties that are represented here in this room. But only if it is a just government and one which asserts and delivers rights for all citizens. Sinn Féin will play no part in state-sponsored discrimination. There can be no second-class citizenship for anyone.
Sorry, Chris, carry on.
Stephen, I think it's interesting. The two positions in terms of saying that you're not going to make a reforming petition of concern a red line issue and pursuing marriage equality, they're not mutually exclusive. You know, reforming a petition of concern is not the only way to achieve same-sex marriage. I think that's important. I actually understand that both the DUP and Sinn Féin, it's obvious to me why they do not want to get rid of the petition of concern, because it is an important veto that both parties effectively hold. However, I think what Sinn Féin realises, particularly as we increasingly move on now, is it's going to be extremely difficult for them to go back into government at Stormont unless they have a pledge that, however it is achieved, that same-sex marriage does result. And I think the DUP, what we're seeing in the carefully choreographed series of gestures from Arlene Foster, including her attendance at the Peak News event last night, is the DUP recognise they have a problem. They have a problem with the various different others communities in Northern Ireland. And I think that Sinn Féin are in a rather strong negotiating position with regard to same-sex marriage. And what Arlene Foster was doing last night was probably, hopefully from her end, just the first step, because I don't see any way in which this can end well for the DUP or for political unionism unless essentially they make their peace with the issue of same-sex marriage and find a way to get it across the line that least, I suppose, embarrasses those in the party who have made comments in the past that are deeply, deeply offensive to members of the gay and lesbian community.
The Ulster Unionist Party MLA, Doug Beattie, listening to this morning. Good morning to you, Doug. Good
morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Of course, your leader is anti-gay marriage, isn't he? Robin Swan.
He would not be in favour of same-sex marriage.
Why not?
Well, I think, you know, there's many people within society, Stephen, who have particular values that they hold dear. Some are based on their religious upbringing, and some are based on their social upbringing, and every individual has got a right to express those. I have the opposite view, and Robin and me have had long conversations and meaningful conversations about this, because I support same-sex marriage. But I think it's fair and proper that people are able to express their opinions, as long as they express those opinions in a way that is not designed to be hurtful. I think that's a slightly different issue than somebody then going out of their way to veto a democratic vote, which I think is not right. So I think there's a difference here, and I think we do have to reach out to people who do struggle to make this move towards supporting same-sex marriage. We have to listen to what they have to say. We should not denigrate their views or their social upbringing or their religious views. But we should engage and make sure that when they express them, they don't do that in a hurtful way.
And in terms of what happens next, do you think Arlene Foster's appearance at the Pink News event was significant? Was a significant step forward, Doug, or was it a photo op?
I can't, you know, I'm slightly torn, Stephen, because I don't want to see this as an opportunity to point score. So, you know, with Arlene turning up, with Simon Hamilton, I've got to say, you know, it is absolutely positive step that she was there. All five party leaders were there. All five party leaders addressed the room. And the atmosphere was absolutely wonderful. It looked absolutely and was absolutely normal. But I've got to say, her words did not reach out in any shape or form. I do not think she has got the foundations of any form of relationship between the LGBT community. And I think she needs to have those foundations in place. And then she needs to build on what she did last night. So appearance is just an appearance. It's what happens afterwards. It's what you do with what you're trying to move forward with is what's really important.
Marty and Derry. Morning, Marty. Stay there, Doug. Morning, Marty.
Yes. How you doing?
Go ahead, Marty.
I believe everything's done behind the scenes. Because you've got Arlene Foster going to gay rights meetings, and you've got all the rest of them. Michelle saying she's Londonderry and Derry, and you've GAA going to GAA matches, and she wouldn't even go to a football match, and like.
Okay, so you think there's been a deal done, do you, Doug?
No, I don't. I've certainly had no indication that there's been any deal done, but, you know, as we've said on many occasions, we've been kept well outside that room between the DUP and Sinn Féin. But so I don't, no, I don't think there's been a deal done.
Thomas in North Belfast. Morning, Thomas.
How you doing, Stephen? Stephen, I think that's a bit strange. I'm saying that the DUP and Sinn Féin don't want to get rid of the petition of concern. Arlene Foster and the DUP were calling for to get rid of the petition of concern in 2017, and then it wouldn't, in January of 1917, which is well over a year ago. And if they had to get rid of it at that time, they wouldn't be able to use it as a petition of concern.
Chris Donnelly, do you want to address that?
Yes, I think it's easy to say that what Arlene Foster and the DUP were looking in its place after that would have been something that would have been still advantageous to themselves, because the DUP are the largest party, and of course unionism at that time was a majority within the Assembly. So both Sinn Féin and the DUP, I think, would like to hold on the petition of concern in some form, because they do reflect, you know, let's remember here, Sinn Féin and the DUP, as of never before, reflect the broad opinion within unionism and nationalism. They have the largest vote and mandates that either respective party have ever had. So there is something within both communities that would like to put a break on things that they are worried about, which regard cultural or politically sensitive issues.
No, because if the party leader and the party are both calling publicly to get rid of the petition of concern,
is extended to issues like same-sex marriage. The hook at the moment is one that the DUP have put themselves on. And I think that the way that we are likely to see this resolved is that the DUP, almost in a voluntary sense, will say that we will not use the petition of concern to block same-sex marriage. That is probably going to be the way that both parties could agree to retain the petition of concern in some form and get around the now significant issue of same-sex marriage.
Okay,